This is the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast. I am your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Wow.
I contemplated an extremely depressing and upsetting open, but I feel like we've already had enough depression, and the next 25 to 30 minutes will probably be depressing enough that, you know, for the first 7 seconds of this podcast, I figured people should be upbeat a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Good for you. I'm glad.
Now that that's done, we can go into talking about the epic shit show that was the Jets game yesterday in Kansas City. But before we do that, just a quick programming note. If you like this podcast, if you like any of the SNY audio content, you can find all of SNY.TV's original podcasts covering the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders. You just have to subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. Please remember to rate and review it. You can find this podcast as well if you search SNY.TV Jets, but you can get all of our content if you are a New York sports fan. The SNY.TV audio network is a must subscribe, and the more you rate and review it for us, the more people find out about it. The more people find this podcast, and the more wonderfulness you get from us and from the folks at SNY. So please go on there, SNY.TV audio network, and rate and review. If I had to give the Jets a rating right now, it would be somewhere between a poop emoji, the meanest gif I could find, and total apathy, because that's the effort they gave us yesterday.
It was bad. I mean, it was just so many things that just bothered me, from some of the play calls to the execution to watching, I don't know, like Darrell Revis, you know, stumble and shuffle around in the backfield. I just don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what's going on.
It's hard to explain, but there's a lot to get into. So let's jump right into our first call.
Yeah, this is Leon from Plainview. I just want to know if Ryan Fitzpatrick's agent has a clause in his contract if he throws 30 or more interceptions, he gets an extra $2 million. Thank you.
Maybe. It's gonna possible.
It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
It's starting off the right way. I guess all I would say is, you know, he threw six. And I mean, everybody was texting me, let's go for seven. Like, let's keep going. But, I mean, I'm not listening to talk radio in New York City this morning, so I'm curious. I mean, are people just calling for Gino?
I'm not listening to talk radio in New York either because, you know, I treasure my eardrums and I would rather them not bleed.
Is this going to be a give us Gino week? What's it going to be?
I think we're inching there. There's definitely some talk on Twitter about why Gino didn't see the field yesterday, and I don't necessarily disagree with that because I think it was pretty clear after the fourth or fifth interception that Fitz was just about done. I don't know, you know, I get the message it might send, and probably Bowles just didn't want to open up that Pandora's box. But it's not time. It's not remotely time to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look, he had the worst game he's ever had as a Jet, and maybe the worst game he's ever had of his career yesterday or Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this. But that's a week after the best game of his Jets tenure. You know, like, so you can't just hit the low point after the high point and decide, nope, we're done here. We're going to bail. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a terrible game. And yes, he has to go play the Seahawks next week. And that's not necessarily going to make things easier. But that doesn't mean that it's time to bail and pull that ripcord. He deserves a chance to redeem himself next week.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? I mean, it was awful. And at the end of the game, you're just on full tilt, right? I mean, you're just going for it because what else are you going to do? And you're just, you know, trying to take the biggest risks you can to try and get back into a game. But, it was just bad, and it just kept going bad. And, you know, you get down there and you throw another, you know, pick into the end zone. And it's just like, why does this keep happening? Look, is just bad. But I mean, they didn't involve enough other people into the offense. Like it was like the Matt Forte run against the backs of his linemen early, and then I don't know, like try and throw it to Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall and not be effective for the first three quarters of the game, and then like, hey, we've got Quincy Enunwa, like maybe we'll throw him the ball. It's like, what's happening?
I mean, the thing that frustrated me the most, and it frustrated me because it's an ongoing issue with Ryan Fitzpatrick and it's not going to change. And it was frustrating and concerning at the same time. There were two touchdowns on the board that turned out not to be touchdowns because Ryan Fitzpatrick can't get the ball over the shoulder. Like his arm stretch, like there was a point yesterday where Trent Green, after one of the interceptions in the end zone, Trent Green said, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has all the tools. He has a great arm. And I'm just sitting there screaming like, you know what, Trent, you're an idiot. No, he doesn't. Because half of these plays are because he doesn't have the arm to make these throws. And that's not going to change. I don't know how many that Robbie Anderson should have been a touchdown. Robbie Anderson should have been walking into the end zone. And we've seen this before. It's not even just the underthrows. It's the throws to the left and the right. It's the thing that's slightly behind a Nunwa on that crossing route, or just leading him a little too far, or it's just a little too high. You know, there's just no touch on a lot of these passes most of the time, and it's a very concerning thing. And it also leads to problems in the red zone. And I think that flows into our next question.
This is Bob from Delray Beach, Florida. Well, this once again was a terrible game plan, especially in the red zone, a terrible execution. I don't understand why we continue to use the same plays without any variation. We keep forcing the ball to Marshall and Decker. Where's Anderson, who made a good catch? Why not play back to him? Where's Powell and Forte in the backfield at the same time, and maybe either both going out for passes or rushing out of the backfield? How about some variety? How about some newness? Shape it up.
It's a great point. I mean, you just hit on this, so you keep going on this because I think you're onto something, Corey.
Look, Brandon Marshall said something at the end of the game that I think, depending on how this season goes, it could portend to a festering wound. But he pointed out that the Jets are maybe a little overconfident in themselves in the red zone and getting a little too cute. And I think, you know, we saw in week one the Jets ran the ball a lot in the red zone, and they got shut down. So last week, they threw the ball a lot in the red zone, and that worked. So all of a sudden this week, it was, okay, let's throw the ball in the red zone, even though they're moving the ball primarily the best way if they're on the ground against the Chiefs. I agree. I don't understand why Powell and Forte aren't on the field at the same time. I don't understand why Bilal Powell doesn't get more touches. I don't know how many times we can have a segment on this show where we say, hey, why hasn't Bilal Powell? Maybe we can get this sponsored. Maybe we can get this sponsored by like Kleenex or something like that for all the tears for Jets fans about Bilal Powell not being used enough. But they're in a rut. They're in a red zone rut, and they were one of the best red zone teams in all of football last year. And it was inevitable that was going to regress towards the mean. But the level of the last two of the last three weeks to which it has regressed is concerning, because he's right. They're not being creative. There was a time early in the game yesterday, before one of the end zone picks, where Decker and Marshall were lined up wide right? And last year, you would have seen rub routes. You would have seen one go in while one go out. And instead, what we got was the inside receiver ran towards the middle, ran a post route essentially, and the outside receiver ran a fade. It's an easy thing to cover. That's an easy route to cover, and it's not all on the play calling, because Ryan Fitzpatrick made some terrible decisions with the ball in the red zone. But yes, the play calling specifically inside the 10 and 15 yard lines two of the last 3 weeks has been very suspect.
Well, I do think it bears saying, though, that this Chiefs defense is, I think, one of the most underrated defenses in the NFL. I think they've got a great defensive front. I think their secondary proved to be very good. You know, Marcus Peters, we talked about him last week, is one of the best players, you know, maybe at his position. And he had a hell of a game. And then, you know, also, I mean, their linebackers are not bad either. Is it Derek Johnson? I always say his name wrong. But yeah, you know, they've got a great group there. And so, you know, some credit has to go to how good that defense is. And when there's no real weak points or places that you can stress that defense, you know, in the red zone, when it gets condensed, it's hard to do for an offense. And I think we saw that, you know, that, right, it fell apart for the Jets pretty quickly yesterday. But, you know, at the same time, I'm with you. you have to bring some wrinkles into the game, whether it's figuring out, you know, using Anunua more as a tight end, or using somebody actually using a tight end, or two running backs in the backfield, or the rub routes you're talking about, or different things, or those kind of short passes short of the goal line that you then force the guy to, you know, get the ball into the end zone. Those are the most successful plays. Fade routes in the back of the end zone. Those are the least successful plays.
I hate the fade.
Exactly. So run the things that you know work. And I think we've seen Chan Gailey do some good things and knows what he's doing. I just think yesterday it was, you know, out-talented and out-coached by Bob Sutton, you know, which is saying something.
Yeah, one last thing on this before we move on to the coaching real quick. You bring up Anunua. One of the reasons the red zone offense was so successful last year is because they used Anunua as an H-back and as a tight end and as a lead blocker almost on a lot of these rub routes and pick plays. This year, understandably so, he's become a much better player. So they're using him more as an actual target in the offense. And I think that's leading to some problems where you can't put Kellen Davis and you don't have him. And now Marshall and Decker are kind of in a spot where they're facing more single or double coverage, or teams are allowed to sit back. So I think that's a factor in it. And whether they need to now go back to doing that, I don't necessarily think he needs to be strictly a setup player or, you know, a non-primary target. But they have to find a way to manufacture that element of the offense that they had last year. And that's a coaching decision. That's a well-timed flow into our next question.
Hi, this is B-Dub from Connecticut. Todd's got to look at his coaching staff and then himself. We've got to look in the mirror here and answer the question. Why do we keep coming out week after week and getting outplayed, out-energized by every team in the league?
Well, it's a fair point, but I mean, at the same time, like, what do you want? Do you want Rex Ryan, you know, rallying his troops for the win against the Cardinals? I mean, they beat the Cardinals yesterday. They were definitely more energetic than the Cardinals appeared to be yesterday. But at the same time, like, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we were complaining about, you know, Rex Ryan. All he could muster was emotion, but no scheme or talent or clock management or any of those sort of things. So I totally understand the question. I understand watching Todd Bowles in the fourth quarter, you know, have his kind of 1,000-yard stare or 1,000-mile stare, you know, looking kind of vacantly into whatever while his team is getting trounced. I get it, but at the same time, what I'm more worried about is watching, you know, players not respond or pick up energy or energize their own team. I mean, and for me, most notably, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Corey, but I'll ask, and maybe I'm picking on him, but I really saw lots of plays where I just saw Darrell Revis standing around, you know, kind of plays are developing around him. He's not really getting his nose in there. And I understand he's a defensive back. I understand he needs to protect himself. But like, when it's getting near the goal line and he's just shuffling around the end zone, like, what are you doing? You know, what's happening?
I don't know. I don't know. I think our friend Drew from Jersey put it well on Twitter today. Revis doesn't have any fight in him right now.
Exactly.
He's going through the motions, and I don't know if that's because he's more hurt or he's got an injury that we're not aware of. He's more out of shape than we're aware of, whether that's real or not. I'm concerned. The concern is probably an understatement at this point, but he's also, you know, we talked about this last week. We were concerned that he was going to start playing soft to not get beat deep, and I saw at least two or three plays where he was 4 or 5 yards off at the point at the point catch point. And I'm just not understanding why that's the case. Whether he's and then if that is the case, then the coaches need to find a way to adjust to that. There needs to be a situation where the coaches are like, okay, we can't keep Darrell in one-on-one press or give him the option to play press or play man. You need to play more creative schemes. You need to use more zone concepts. You need to mix and match coverages. You maybe need to hide him sometimes, and that's a concerning thing to say for a guy who's counting $18 million against the cap or whatever he is this year. But yes, the problem that I am having right now is with the coaching staff is the refusal to make adjustments. And it's in-game adjustments and it's regular, you know, week-to-week adjustments. I'm tired. I'm we're not going to harp on this. We're going to move on. But just it's fourth and short on the 42-yard line. You're going for that. You gain 20 yards. You gain 20 yards with that punt. I just don't Brian, I'm tired of watching somebody coach like it's Herm Edwards again.
Just play to win the game. Play to win the game.
So frustrating.
Moving on.
This is Dave Banks, Jets fan for many years, living Queens. This was terrible. The Jets safeties couldn't catch Leonardo DiCaprio. You need some speed from the safeties. That's where the problem is today. Bye.
Well, look, David's fair. No, go ahead, Brian.
No, I would say I would definitely agree, but I don't think that guys like Darrell Revis are doing them any favors either, right? Like, it's all coming unbalanced because it's all unbalanced, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, Calvin Pryor is a good player when used the right way, right? We figured that out over the last mm-hmm. two seasons, but he should not be in single high coverage against Travis Kelce. He should not be matched up one-on-one in press coverage against Travis Kelce now.
Yeah, you got a vice. You got to put a vice on Kelce. Come on. Like, those drag routes were killing me yesterday.
Right. All the time. And you just – if that's a situation that Pryor needs to know, that he needs to take a few steps back and not be so close up at the line, especially with all the routes that they were running with, the drag and pick plays essentially that they were running for Kelce on those drag routes. But the safeties are not – trying to think of the bet. Like, Travis Kelce is a matchup nightmare if you have anyone outside of Earl Thomas right? But
yes.
the problem that I'm seeing is that the Jets coaches are not putting these DBs in. They're trusting their individual skill sets instead of trying to fit their individual skill sets into an overall plan. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think that's fair said, right? We've seen enough of what Rex Ryan did. We've seen enough of what Todd Bowles did. And, like, one of the things, you know, for whatever you think about Rex Ryan, like, he would put those bracket coverages on Rob Gronkowski or whatever. And I just don't see a lot of that. Maybe I'm missing it or something. And so right, when you've got Travis Kelce and when he scores a touchdown and then they run the exact same route again and he almost does it again the next time they're in the red zone, it's like, guys, like, we figure something out, make an adjustment here, right? And you're right. Like, no, Travis Kelce is probably one of the best and most underutilized tight ends in the league right now. But at the same time, you have to come up with a plan to, take him out of the game. And, hey, you know, Jeremy Maclin didn't have much of a game. And, you know, I mean, the Jets did some good things, but I would say Maclin did more, to sink himself than the Jets did to really take him out of the game plan. Right. I mean, it wasn't good. Right. The safeties weren't great. And I like Marcus Gilchrist. I think he's a great player, but when there's too many stresses on this whole system in terms of Darrell Revis shuffling around, getting, you know, chucked at will by Chris Conley, there's too much of this stuff, right? And it's kind of falling apart quickly. That defensive front is fantastic, but it's essentially a Maginot line where everything else behind it is just falling apart.
Well, here's the one thing, and we'll move on to our last question after this. Draft an edge rusher, guys. It's that simple. You know what helps on 3rd and 8? An edge rusher. Because you know what that guy does? He then puts Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson and Leonard Williams in one-on-one matchups instead of them being consistently double-teamed because it's a 4-man rush or a blitz that's easily diagnosable from the start. They need a difference maker at edge. It's that simple. You need one in this day and age. You cannot win consistently against against an offense that has two or three that's well-designed and well-schemed, like Andy Reid's offense is always going to be, without a disruptor or a difference maker on 3rd and long.
And I think you can get away
from
with
the second level.
You can get away with that if your secondary is good, right? This Jets secondary I thought was going to be good, and, I mean – It's in shambles.
All right, let's move on to our last question.
My name is Efren. I'm in Miami, Florida. This game was pathetic. I just wanted to be known. I'm filing a lawsuit against the Jets, at least against those people who were on the field today for impersonating a professional football team. And I have some great lawyers, and hopefully you guys post this, because that was ridiculous.
Leon and Efren just really bringing it both to as the bookends of the show. Look, man, this is a tough one to swallow, and it's tough because this was a game that time after time after time, despite them trying to give it away over and over and over, the Chiefs kept giving them a chance to come back. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part, is because they could have won this game with a bad game from their quarterback.
Seven of those points came off a total fluke play, right? Like, I mean, that Jalen Marshall fumble, it was a total fluke.
I don't even think that's a fluke, though, because he's had hands issues since the preseason. He's had hands issues since college.
Saying, pops out of his hands right into the tight end's hands, who runs it in for the score. And you're right, he has hands issues. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that was 7 points right there, right? My point is, like, it was 14 points, but it might as well have been 48 points. Like, it didn't matter, right? It was, it seemed so far, and they were just so, I don't know, low energy, as the earlier caller said. I don't know what you do, but right.
It doesn't get any easier because the Seahawks are coming.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that was the thing, you know, I think you were a little, you didn't think the Chiefs were that good of a team. I certainly think they had a bad week.
I still don't think they're
a better team than people are giving them credit for. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying I think they're better than they're getting credit for. But right, I mean, if you almost lose to the Bengals, or you almost win to the Bengals, you beat the Bills pretty badly. This is a team somewhere in the middle, and they just laid a total egg. So right now, what are you going to do? Okay, maybe Tyrone Boykin starts for the Seahawks.
Trevon, sorry.
But you can't count on that. And, you know, we know Russell Wilson has his, you know, whatever vitamin bubble water or whatever he's got. So he's going to try and play.
Yeah. The best part about this is that it's not the end. Okay. And they're not 1-5.
Very true.
They're not 0-3. They are 1-2. They have a tough game coming up at home. And it's just a matter of, you know, not burying the ball, but you've got to have a better effort. And the truth is, you might have to win on Sunday. You might have to beat the Seahawks because, yes, the Seahawks are good and potentially one of the best teams in the league. But if you're a playoff team, you have to come out of this stretch at least 2-2. And if you do, you figure it out. And yes, you have two losses in the AFC, and that's not ideal. But you've got to go out and you've got to beat the Seahawks on Sunday. You just have to. It's that simple. And we'll be back to preview that game later in the week. Until then, make sure that you guys find this podcast and all of SNY's great audio content on the SNY.TV audio network. You can also find us on iTunes. Just search SNY.TV Jets or the Jets Blog Podcast. You will find us on iTunes or any of your devices. And rate and review us. And rate and review Brian on Twitter. Tweet at Brian and let him know how many stars he was worth this show.
Oh,
at
man.
Brian_Bassett.
And you can do the same with Corey.
Don't do that to me.
Don't do it to Corey. To okay, don't do it to
no,
Corey. But
you
still,
can, you can tweet star ratings to me.
Show him pictures of tacos at Corey Griffin NBC on Twitter.
Can we start that? If the Jets lose, I would like people to tweet pictures of tacos at me to make me happier. That would always cheer me up. So if you want to do that, that would be much appreciated. Until next time, folks, keep calm and try to jet on.
Wah, wah.
Thanks for listening to the Jets Blog Postgame Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.